You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today, we're going to have one segment, and that will be dedicated to what happened yesterday in Congress, namely the so-called deal that was struck both in the Senate and the House that reopened the government today. I call it the SAD deal, Obama's SAD deal. Just a little bit of history. We have presidents that like to have deals that allegedly are going to help the American people fix things. If only it were true. Probably the most famous of those deals was the New Deal under FDR that actually prolonged the Great Depression. Now, we're not going to have a history class or lesson on that, but presidents, starting with Theodore Roosevelt, a Republican, had the Square Deal. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a cousin of Theodore, he had his New Deal in the 1930s. Harry Truman, his vice president that succeeded him upon FDR's death, had the Fair Deal. And today we have what I call Obama's SAD deal, where SAD stands for Spending Addiction Disorder. Now, what do I mean by spending addiction disorder? Today, President Obama, right now, is in his fiscal 2014 budget year. He's already estimated, the White House has already estimated, and I think they're being very optimistic about this, that the deficit for fiscal 2014 that just started in 1 October will be $750 billion. Now, what do we mean by a deficit? That means the federal government will spend more money than it collects in tax revenue. And they're saying that'll be approximately $750 billion, which is actually, if it were to come true, and I doubt it will, because I think, quite frankly, it'll be closer to somewhere between $900 billion and a trillion. But let's give the White House the benefit of the doubt, and let's say they're right. That's terrible. That would be the lowest deficit since Barack Obama's been in office, because in fiscal year 2009, and part of that, the first 3 months, actually going on 4 months, President Bush was still president. But that fiscal year, who appropriated the money for it? The Democratic Party controlled both the House and the Senate. They were responsible for the budgets that were prepared for fiscal year 2009. It's the Democratic Party. So even though President Bush was president for October, November, December, until the third week in January of 2009, the budget for fiscal year 2009, as was 2008 and 2007, were Democratic budgets. And what happened in fiscal year 2009? The deficit, for the very first time, went over $1 trillion. It was $1.4 trillion. Historic. For the previous fiscal year, when President Bush was the president, that's for fiscal year 2008, we had the highest budgetary deficit in the entire history of the United States. And that was $459 billion. Huge, huge, massive deficit. And he rightfully, the news media, the major media, your big corporate major media, were continually criticizing President Bush for running these massive deficits, even though it was the Congress of the United States, controlled by the Democratic Party, both in the House and the Senate, that passed these appropriation bills that resulted in that massive deficit for fiscal year 2008, which ran from 1 October 2007 to 30 September 2008. And Obama, when he was running, said we shouldn't increase the national debt ceiling. That's when he was a senator and running. And what the major media was doing, because they knew it was the next year was going to be an election year, were to blame these massive deficits on who? The Republican Party and President Bush. And they got away with it. And the demagogues, both Harry Reid, Senator Reid, now the majority leader that controls the Senate, as well as Senator from Illinois, Barack Obama, didn't want to raise the national debt ceiling. Now that they're in, that now that both are in power, they want to raise it. You see, they're hypocrites. They're phonies. And what's even more disturbing is large corporate media lets them get away with it. Today, if you listen to the newscast, is, well, who were the winners and who were the losers with the deal that was struck yesterday late afternoon? By far the biggest loser, by far the biggest loser is the American people. Because what we have, what we're doing right now is just continuing these failed economic policies of massive deficits that started in, well, it started when in 2007, when the Democrats were elected in 2006. They took office in 2007. They controlled the House and the Senate. And they started to dramatically increase the budgets of all departments. And it's only gotten worse. 2008 was the last time you had a Republican president in office. But he really did not have control over the budget. Remember, I said yesterday, presidents, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, they are required by law to submit their budget, which is really just a request by the various departments. Congress, and especially the House, originates all money bills, including spending bills as well as tax bills. So when Congress was completely controlled by the Democratic Party, they went on a massive spending binge. They are addicted. They have a bad habit, and I call this bad habit spending addiction disorder. It's now become more than a habit. It has become a deal. The deal. What was the deal yesterday? The deal yesterday was to continue with these massive deficits. See, the core problem in the United States today is we have a federal government that is truly out of control in terms of spending. There's no sense of fiscal responsibility. There's no attempt to even come close to balancing the budget. Because if you thought fiscal year 2008 was bad at $459 billion, and that broke all records. That was the largest deficit in the entire history of the United States. And it happened under a Republican president, President George W. Bush. That's true. But who controlled the purse strings? Who controlled the purse strings? The Democratic Party. And when Barack Obama was elected president in 2008, what happened in his first fiscal year? The deficit nearly tripled. It increased to $1.4 trillion. What happened next year, fiscal year 2010? We had some improvement, folks. Hang on to your seats. It was $1.3 trillion. $1.3. Guess what happened in fiscal year 2011? An improvement. It was slightly under $1.3 trillion. Aren't you excited? And then what happened in fiscal year 2012? It was slightly above $1 trillion. We're making some progress. We're making some progress here. Now, what do you think is going to be the deficit for the year that just ended? Just before the show, I went to the Department of Treasury site, and they publish a monthly report that is overdue. It's supposed to be out the eighth business day. Well, today is past the eighth business day. We're probably in close to the 20th business day. They still don't have the report out. But if looking at the numbers through August, we're going to have most likely, well, let me first state, the deficit through August was $755 billion. My educated guess is the deficit for fiscal year 2013 will be about $900 billion. Guess what? An improvement. It's actually less than $1 trillion. Let's give them a cheer. Let's give them a cheer. The only reason it's less than $1 trillion is because of the sequester that the Democrats want to get rid of. Obama wants to get rid of, even though it was his people that suggested it. They screwed up. But that's their number one priority in the budget area, is to do away with the sequester that really is the only thing that's driving down the spending. Otherwise, we would have had another year of $1 trillion. It still could be $1 trillion. That's still a possibility. We don't have the final numbers yet. And it's very, very difficult to estimate what tax collections will be in any given month. And the same thing, you can come closer on the expenditures because you, to some extent, control them. But I fully anticipate that our deficit will be approximately $900 billion. And it'll range anywhere from $755 billion upwards of $1 trillion. I think they're going to try to keep it under $1 trillion. So we'll know probably between now and the end of the month. I fully anticipate that the Treasury Department will issue that report. It'll probably be sometime next week. They'll probably issue it on a Friday. So if it's not this Friday, it'll probably be the following Friday. And I'll give you the exact number. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is spending is out of control. And neither political party has the will, the vision, the courage, really the integrity, to do anything about it. There's no leadership. There's no attempt by either political party to, over a period of years, try to balance the budget. None. None. So instead, what is going on? What is going on? We have massive deficits every year, on average, of about $1.2 trillion. If I'm right, and $900 billion is the estimate, becomes the actual for fiscal year 2013, okay, the average is $1.1 trillion. Ladies and gentlemen, that's living beyond your means. Not for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years, now going on 5 years with no end in sight. And we haven't had a budget for 4 years. What we've had is continuing resolution. And all that means is there's no budget. And the reason why it's called a CR, in Washington jargon, it's a CR. We're going to pass a CR. You've heard of a clean CR. There's nothing clean about it. It's obscene what they're doing. Both parties are doing this. They are not listening to the American people. You know, I was talking to someone before this show, and we got on the subject of Tea Party. And I said, let's cut to the chase. I know many in the Democratic Party are trying to demonize and marginalize the Tea Party movement. And there are some people in the Republican Party who are doing the same. I'm very familiar with the Tea Party movement. I'm part of it. And what is, they had two demands. One was no more bailouts. I'm not going to spend any time on that, but no more bailouts for banks that are too big to fail or insurance companies. But really, what is the number one demand, concern and demand of the Tea Party movement? Balance the budget. Cut government spending and balance the budget. Now, I didn't say in 1 year. Most of the people that support the Tea Party are reasonable and have common sense. They would like you to balance the budget over a 3 or 4 year period. Remember, the financial crisis started in 2008. It really hit big time in the end of 2008, the last quarter. But we've been in economic recovery since July of 2009. But what has the federal government been doing? Largely because the Congress has been controlled either completely by the Democratic Party, or at least they control half of it, namely the Senate and the presidency. What's been going on? We've been spending way beyond the means of the American people. It's like, I've used this example on the show. It's like you get, let's say your take-home pay is $5,000 a month or $60,000 a year. In other words, you're middle class. You're not doing terrifically well nor terrifically bad. You're comfortable, can rent or pay the mortgage. You have food on the table. But at $5,000, you're making $60,000 today. That's not considered a great job, but nor is it considered, you're not considered poor. You're doing okay. But let's say you're, for some reason in the past, you had a much higher paying job. Let's say it was $250,000 a year. Let's say, make it simple, $240,000. So you were making quite a bit of money. $20,000 a month times 12. And this is take home. I'm not talking about taxes. But let's say you're making $240,000 and take home, or $20,000 a month. And for whatever reason, you're now making $5,000. So instead of making $20,000, which is your, you've been making that many years, and suddenly, for whatever reason, maybe your job was done away with as a result of a merger. But you find yourself out in the street. You've been fortunate to find a job after many months, maybe years, that now you're making $60,000. You're making 25% of what you used to make. But you're used to spending a lot more. When you're making $20,000, you would spend $10,000 to $15,000 every month. In other words, you have to adjust your spending. And that's the problem with the federal government. They have to adjust their spending. Because what happened? The economy went into a recession starting in December of 2007. It lasted through June of 2009. And what happened to federal revenues? They went down. Why? When people are massively laid off, you're not going to get income taxes and you're not going to get payroll taxes. That's what hit the federal government. Revenues plummeted. Did the federal government cut back in spending? No, they didn't. They kept on spending, thinking, oh, this'll only last maybe 6 months, 18 months tops, and then the economy will come back, be booming, revenues will be coming back and booming, and this is a temporary problem. So instead of cutting spending, what we're going to do is just continue on and spend more and more money. Now, as an individual, if you tried to do that, yeah, for several months, maybe in a year, you could keep charging it on a credit card. You're bringing in $5,000, but you're still spending $10,000 a month. Why? Because at one time, you're making $20,000 a month. And you're thinking, any day now, I'll get my my good-paying job back. I'll be flush. So I'll just run up the spending. I'll use my credit cards to do that. But what happens? You don't get the big job. You still got a job. You're lucky. You're still making, taking home $5,000 a month or $60,000 a year. That's your take home. But for a year or two, you kept on spending $10,000 or $15,000 a month and running up those credit cards. And guess what? The credit cards are not free. You got to pay interest, high interest on it. So what happens? You start draining down your savings, maybe dipping into your retirement plan. And before you know it, your savings are gone and your retirement plan's not gone, but it's half or less of what it used to be because you didn't adjust your spending to your revenue. You didn't budget based on your existing incoming revenue. You were spending based on 3 or 4 or 5 years of earning a much higher salary, 4 times as high. Now, I'm giving you that example for a reason. That is the problem with the federal government today. And with the people that have been in Washington for many, many years, they think everything will be solved when the economy comes roaring back and is growing. Don't worry about it. Keep on spending. Keep on spending. And their economist friends, most of who are Keynesians, say that's the answer. When we're in a recession, what the federal government should do is pump priming. Pump priming. Spend government money. Why? To replace the fact that consumption is down and investment is down. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, we've been doing it when we're out of the recession, supposedly. We keep on spending, and I call it fiscal insanity. It's like having a drug habit, and you need to continually increase the dosage. Or you're an alcoholic, and you're continually drinking more and more alcohol. Or you're a smoker that starts out with a few cigarettes a day, and now you're up to 2 packs a day. It's an addiction. That's why I call it a spending addiction disorder. Sad. And it is sad. Because whether it's an individual doing it or the federal government, it doesn't end well. Now, it's an individual doing it. He'll have a choice. Either he's going to stop or he's going to go bankrupt. And eventually, he probably will lose his job if he doesn't cut his spending. And it usually doesn't take a person that long to make the adjustment, especially if he's married and have kids. Because while you might maintain that high, much higher standard of living, eventually it dawns on you that it's very doubtful I'm ever going to be earning what I used to earn when I was bringing in the big bucks. People will adapt, and they will cut down on their spending because they have to. They can't print money. And eventually, the banks will cut them off, will not increase their limit on their credit cards, or will not even issue another credit card until he pays off the existing ones. And what's sad, what happens is the people stop paying the credit cards and many times have to go bankrupt, even though they have a fairly decent paying job, bringing in $5,000 a month or $60,000 a year. Now, let's get back to the federal government for a moment. For fiscal year 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 5 fiscal years, the average deficit where we've spent more money than we collect from all taxes is average $1.2 trillion. That's $1,200 billion. That's the average. You cannot continue to do this. Because like I said on my show yesterday, historically, if you look over a long period of time, 50, 60, 70 years, when tax rates were high, low, or in between, the federal government collects on average, if you measure it against real GDP, about 18%. That's what they collect on average. It's 18% of GDP. So whatever the real GDP is, the percentage of tax revenue to GDP is around 18%. More fine, it's about 18.2. We want to get put a fine point on it. Today, the federal government is spending over 21%. Way above that 18%. 3 percentage points above is a lot. You see, the federal government today is spending around $3.6, $3.7 trillion annually. They're only going to be collecting, my estimate is about 2.6, maybe 2.7. You see the problem? We have a big deficit, and it's continuing. I don't think the deficit next year is going to be $750 billion. I think that's very optimistic, and why do I say that? If the economy goes into a recession and we're overdue, what's the first thing that's going to happen? Government revenue is going to go down. Is definitely going to go down. And when that does, the deficits get bigger. Now, I'm trying to give you this background so you have some perspective of what's going on. You literally have to understand the history. And I think it's common sense that you cannot continue on this road. You literally cannot. Now, my problem is, my concern and the problem is this. We have another type of deficit in Washington, D.C., and that's what I call a leadership deficit. There are very, very few people, either in the House of Representatives or the Senate, that have, again, first you need to understand the problem. Second, you need to know what needs to be done. You see, there are a few people that understand the problem and know what needs to be done. Unfortunately, there are very few in Congress, either in the House or the Senate. But then you need the vision and the courage and also the integrity to want to do something about it. And that means if you have that, then you need not, you will not be a follower, you will be a leader. You need to step forward and communicate the situation to the American people. That's what Ted Cruz did a couple of weeks ago. And that's why amongst the Tea Party movement, as well as the Republican base, he's a hero. He's a star, a rising star. He's applauded. Why? He's listening to the American people. And what the American people are crying out and demanding is first to cut federal spending with the aim of within 3 to 4 years of balancing the budget. Because the American people know you cannot continue spending way beyond the means of the American people. It doesn't end well. It doesn't end well. How bad is it? Today, every dollar that the U.S. spends, every dollar, only approximately two-thirds, or 66 cents, is paid for by taxes. Two-thirds. What about the other third? You got to pay your bills. Yeah, you got to pay your bills. That's paid by borrowing. By borrowing. And that's what the Department of Treasury is doing. That's why the debt level, today it's over $17 trillion. And what they've done is suspended the debt ceiling law until February 7th. That's part of the deal. We won't enforce. We'll suspend that law until February 7th. What is the implication of that? The Treasury will start selling more and more debt, whether it's a bill, a note, or a bond, primarily bonds and notes, 10-year notes, 30-year bonds. And what will happen is by February 7th, the national debt will be approaching, if not exceeding, $17.5 trillion. That's $17,500 billion. Just November, December, January, in 4 months, we'll add over $400 billion to the debt, closer to $5 billion. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem in Washington, D.C., the core problem that is ruining the United States economy is the fact that spending, federal government spending, is out of control. Out of control. And that's why I call it spending addiction disorder. We all know people that have been alcoholics or smokers or drug addicts or sex addicts or pornography addicts or game addicts or food addicts that they can't control their behavior. They need more and more of the substance that they're addicted to. It could be alcohol. It could be tobacco. It could be drugs. It could be cocaine, heroin, you name the drug. It could be food. People eat too much. Just look, go to any mall and just look at the people. I have somewhat of a food problem. I've gained weight and I need to lose it, and I'm conscious of it. And that's the first step. Stop denying you don't have a problem. Admit you have a problem. That is a key first step, absolutely essential step. The problem, we have a president of the United States and a Democratic Party that deny that they have a problem when it's manifestly obvious. And truth be known, many in the Democratic Party know that, but they will never admit it. And unfortunately, many in the Republican Party are denying it's a problem. Oh, deficits don't matter. They don't? Well, who's going to pay the bill? The American people have to pay the bill. And it's gotten so bad that now many of the people that used to invest in treasury bills aren't investing. Why? The risk premium is not there. The interest that they would get paid on the debt is not enough to compensate them for the risk. And why is that a problem? That means the Federal Reserve System, the Central Bank of the United States, has been intervening in buying more and more of those treasury securities. That's called monetization of the debt. Now, the Federal Reserve Chairman likes to deny that that's going on, but you only have to look at his balance sheets to say, Mr. Chairman, you're lying to me. You're lying to me. That's what's going on. The Federal Reserve is enabling the federal government to expand its problem, its spending addiction disorder. It's like the dealer that keeps supplying the drugs. In this case, they're providing the, they buy the Treasury securities and they give the Department of Treasury a Federal Reserve note. Now, they don't print the money. They sit at a keyboard and make an entry that the Department of Treasury gets so much money for their Treasury securities. To make it real simple, on the books of the Federal Reserve, their assets are increased by the amount of the Treasury securities that they buy. And how do they pay for it? By issuing a Federal Reserve note. Actually, all they do is sit at a keyboard and give them a credit. Now, what does the Department of Treasury do with that money? It issues checks and pays the government's bills. And let's say you're one of those people that get that check. What do? You go to your bank and you deposit it. And what does the bank do? It loans the money out, but it also puts a part in reserves in the Federal Reserve. Now, I'm not going to go in detail of how that works, but I wanted to give you the big picture. What's going on here? And what you got to understand, the core problem is spending is out of control. And that results in more and more of these deficits every year now. Huge deficits. Unprecedented, historically high deficit. Does the major corporate media focus in on these numbers? And the fact this is totally unsustainable? I will tell you this, if it were a Republican president, you'd hear report after report after report every day. But because it's a Democrat president, and most in the major corporate media are liberals, progressives, they support this president. They support the Democratic Party. And they're not going to dwell on the fact that you can't continue to do this. It doesn't end well. And I'll get to that in a minute, why it doesn't end well. But the deal that was struck yesterday, and I call it the sad deal, Obama's sad deal, is yes, the government is open. Let's all celebrate. the government was open. Actually, ladies and gentlemen, about 85% of the government was open. And what drives me nuts, we have more and more stories. Oh, the government, those furloughed, non-essential employees, they haven't been paid in weeks. Woe is me. Well, they're going to go back to work, and they're going to get a check for staying home. Isn't that nice? I really resent this, because in the private sector, no work, no pay. It's very simple. No work, no pay. The government sector is different. If they send you home, enjoy it, because when you come back, no work, you get paid. Isn't that a sweet deal? And that's part of the problem. Who is taking care of first? The bureaucracy. The worker, the so-called non-essential workers that stayed home. They're going to get paid. Isn't that nice? We could have saved, I estimated, about $2 billion a day. So 16 days times 2, we could have saved about $32 billion by not paying them, and that's what really should happen. But no, our nice congressmen, Republicans and Democrats, we must pay those furloughed workers. And they passed a bill, and that's what's going to happen. They're going to get paid. Isn't that sweet? Who's paying that? We are. We are. We paid for them to have a vacation. Now, admittedly, they didn't plan it. They were told to do it. But they enjoyed it. You better believe they enjoyed it for 2 weeks. Gee, I hope it goes on for another 2 weeks. And they're getting paid for it. But that's kind of a marginal point. What's happening is the deficits are not going down. They're almost stuck at $1 trillion. And if the Democrats got their way, they'd be going up. It is only because the sequester that they couldn't, what they did, and they're repeating this, they're going to form a super committee to see what they can do about the debt. The last time they appointed a super committee, they couldn't do anything because you have divided government. That's the problem. The Democrats want more and more spending, more and more taxes, and the Republican Party wants less and less spending and less taxes. There is no middle ground. That's why we've had continuing resolution after continuing resolution. We haven't had a budget. They can't agree on a budget. So all they said is we'll fund it at existing levels. And the Democratic Party doesn't like that, by the way, because they want it to go up. And neither does the Republican Party. They want it to go down. So until we elect a Republican Party that controls the House, the Senate, and the presidency, I don't see any improvement. We're stuck. And by the time President Obama leaves office, I fully anticipate that the national debt under his two terms will be about $8 trillion. It could be higher, though. If we go into another recession, which I think we will, it could hit as high as $10 trillion. But to be a little conservative here and a little hopeful, oh, in 8 years, he's increased the national debt by $8 trillion, which tells me we have eight fiscal years that on average will be about $1 trillion. This is dangerous, folks. This is the problem that Greece had. We're getting dangerously close to that situation. Because what happens? The debt, the size of the debt goes up, up, and up. The interest rate cost goes up, up, and up. And at some point, when you have inflation hit, the Federal Reserve is going to have a restricted monetary policy, which means they'll raise the federal funds rate that has been set permanently low, near zero at 25 basis points since December of 2008. When that has to be reversed, what's going to happen to the interest expense that the federal government has to pay? It's going to go up tremendously. And what does that mean? Finally, finally, the Washington elite is going to have to wake up, stop denying the problem, and focus in on it. Because a larger and larger and larger percentage of the total federal government, its spending, will go to interest, to service the debt. That is the one thing that they have to pay off first. So instead of being 6 or 7% of the total budget today, it could quickly go to 20%. And when that happens, that means federal departments have to be closed. You see, I'm not optimistic for this reason. There's no leadership in the Democratic Party on this issue, and there's really very little leadership. I'm not saying none, but very little leadership in terms of the Republican Party. The term I hear over and over again is they're kicking the can down the road. A better way to say that, they're denying they have a problem. They're denying they have a habit. And the habit is spending addiction disorder. So we have a new deal, Obama's sad deal. And that's what I'm calling. Theodore Roosevelt had the square deal. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, had the new deal. Harry Truman had his fair deal. And now Barack Obama has the sad deal. And it's a sad day for all Americans, because it was the American people that lost yesterday. They lost big time. Because now the Democratic Party thinks it can run roughshod over the Republican Party. Now, I need to say this, and if you're a listener to the show, you already know this. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I've given up on both parties, because both parties have convinced me that they are not fiscally responsible. They're big spenders. I call them bigs. Big interventionist government statists. And their number one way to spot it is they're for more and more government, which means more and more spending, more and more taxes, more and more deficits, and more debt. They have the sad habit. The spending addiction disorder habit. And now it's institutionalized into Obama's sad deal. And it's a raw deal for the American people. Because the American people can no longer support or afford to pay for this sad habit. They don't want the sad deal. We need a new political party with leadership and principles, and one of those principles is balanced budgets, and to balance the budget at what expected revenues are to be, not just every year after every year just increase it and increase it and increase it. You can't ignore reality. Every American individual, family, business, charity, church, college, school district, city, county, state, all of those entities, millions of them, hundreds of millions of them, all must be fiscally responsible. All must balance the budgets. Because they know if they don't, if they go on a spending binge that exceeds their economic resources, they will end up being bankrupt. They're poor stewards of the resources that are entrusted to them. And they end up in bankruptcy or on the street, poor. You have to live within your means. You have to budget. That's the responsible thing to do. And unfortunately, the Washington elite, both in the Republican and Democratic Party, are not responsible. They're fiscally insane. They're living way beyond the means of the American people. That's why today I'm not celebrating that the federal government is open and that we've extended the debt ceiling or suspended it through February 7th. Because the losers today are the American people. The winners are the elites, the addicts, the sad addicts. We have the sad deal, and it's a raw deal for the American people. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Tomorrow from 3 to 5, we have my two-hour wrap-up of the week's events, as well as any breaking news, and I'm sure we'll have some tomorrow. I hope you found this show both entertaining and educational, and now back to the music.